might be ready.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'd like to read just a few verses of the scriptures, words of warning and words of invitation from the Lord Jesus Christ. The Saviour said, no man can serve two masters. You can't serve money and God. You cannot serve the spirit and the flesh. You cannot serve your own desires and God's. Or, friends, which path have you chosen? The broad path that leads to destruction, or the narrow way that leads to light and to life and to wisdom? The Pharisees, who heard these things, derided him. And he said to them, you are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts. Oh, friends, God knows your hearts. He knows your states. He knows your constitution. He knows your frame. He knows our condition. And this is what he says. That which is highly esteemed amongst men is abomination in the sight of God. Oh, friends, the things that we praise, the things that we commend, in God's sight, is so frail, so defiled, so weak, so unworthy. We need grace, and we need wisdom. The key thing I wanted to speak about briefly this afternoon are the two states, two men, two very religious men, Lazarus and a rich man, like Cain and Abel, perhaps sincere, perhaps serious, perhaps in earnest, and yet one forever cursed, the other forever blessed. Which path are you taking? Which way are you going? Are you in the path of Lazarus or the path of the rich man? The rich man was self-confident. He was sincere. He was serious. He thought he had so much, and he lost everything, even his own name. We don't even have his name to recall. Here, friends, was a man who was a loser. He lost everything. He thought, everything. The world was his oyster. He thought he was the possessor and the inheritor of all treasures, spiritual and material. But the reality is, he lost it all. Here was the rich man who was a fool. He thought, friends, he had everything. And yet, when it came to reality, what was the richness of his soul? What was the richness of his state? He didn't have the forgiveness of God. He didn't have a relationship with God. He didn't know God's word. He didn't have an understanding of God's promises. He lost everything. And, oh, friends, the man was buried in a very stately way. But after death, after his burial, he was in hell, and realizing his state, realizing his agony, he cries out for relief. He cries out for help. And this is what Abraham says to him, in the person of God, as it were, saying to him, you have your good things, you had your good things, you had your life, you had your self-indulgence, you had your pampering, and now you've lost it all. You lived selfishly, you lived for self-confidence, you lived sincerely, but according to your own desires and tastes, and now you've lost it all. This is what Abraham said to him. Oh, friends, we've had every warning. We've had every testimony. We know that we live for self. We live for the senses. We live for the pleasures of the flesh. We're going to lose everything. We're going to lose our own spirits. We're going to lose our own destiny. We're going to lose even our own name, even our own being and our own essence. What profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? But here was such a man, rich, wealthy, self-confident, and yet, friends, he'd lost everything. Everything. He lost his own five brothers. He lost his own eternal destiny. He lost his own name. He lost his own standing. Where will he be, friends, in the day of death? Where will he be in the day of judgment? When the weighing scales are set out, God is no respecter of persons. He's no respecter of skin colour. He's no respecter of heritage or of education. He looks at the heart. He looks at the motives. And here, friends, is the crucial determinant. Do we know forgiveness of sin? Do we know eternal inheritance? Or have we wasted our spirits? Lived for vanity. Squandered our opportunities. Lived recklessly and carelessly according to the flesh. Dear friends, wake up to wisdom. Wake up to his gracious call. Read his warnings. Read his word while you still have opportunity. While you still have a mind to think. While you still have time. Don't squander it on flesh. Don't squander it on self. Don't squander it on the senses. Seek him and turn to him. He that sows to the Spirit shall reap everlasting peace. He that sows to the flesh shall reap death and remorse. Here was such a man, friends, wealthy, educated, privileged, had every opportunity, but he wasted it all. He bought the world and he lost his own soul. What an exchange. What a dreadful mistake. Oh, friends, you're making the same mistake this afternoon. Treasuring the flesh, treasuring the senses, treasuring your own opinions, treasuring your own heritage, and you've lost eternal life. You've lost forgiveness of sin. You've lost a relationship with God. How careless, how neglectful. Dear friends, go to Christ. Go to the cross. Ask him for wisdom. Ask him for mercy, while he may still be found. In the Saviour is the narrow way that leads to life. In the Lord Jesus Christ, there is the blood price for the sins we've committed. In Christ, there is the gateway of heaven. In Christ, there is grace and power to cleanse us and to wash us. Seek him and turn to him while he may still be found. Dear friends, he was a rich man with every advantage, with every opportunity, and he wasted it. You know what happened later in the scriptures account? The Saviour, through the mouth of Abraham, says to him, he has Moses, he has the prophets. But oh, friends, he was looking for something bigger, something better. Do you know, if you neglect God's warning, if you neglect God's call, there's no hope for you. No miracle will turn you back to God if you reject God's call, if you reject God's commandments, if you reject the testimony of God's word. He has made things so plain, so unmistakable, so clear that we are without excuse. He's left things beyond reasonable doubt. In Christ, there is the way of life. There is the way of mercy. There is the way of purification. But oh, friends, you've chosen filth. You've chosen defilement. You've chosen folly. And where's the outcome? Where's the fruit of the harvest you've reaped? Seek him. Turn back from sin while he may still be found. Go to him for grace and for life while he's still near at hand. In the Saviour, there is the great fountain of life. In Christ, there is solid forgiveness for sin. There is preparation for eternity. Oh, friends, the pharaohs are wise enough to clothe themselves with gold. What is the clothing of your spirit when you enter eternity? Where will you be when the searchlight of God's law searches your heart and your motives and your constitution? We have no standing, friends. We have no opportunity. We have no foothold. Left in our own flesh, what confidence do we have when we face the living God and his judgments? There is nothing to commend us. Nothing, friends, that stands in our hands. We're debtors. We owe everything we have to God. And friends, we live under his indignation. He's given us every advantage, every blessing, every opportunity, and we've thrown it away. Oh, friends, wake up to wisdom. Wake up to his gracious call. Seek him. Turn to him. Ask him for light and for mercy while he may still be found. In the Saviour, there is solid grace to bless us, to cleanse us, to wash us. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. We make God a liar. Many of us do that. We belie God in order to justify and vindicate ourselves. But our friends, God's word will be vindicated, either in justice, either in our condemnation, or in mercy. Which will it be? Seek him. Shake off the dust of ungodliness. Ask him for light. Ask him for perception. Take off the blinkers. Oh, friends, look in through that veil of eternity that shields us from between now and death. Seek him and turn to him while he may still be found. In the Christ, there is the great fountain of life. In the Saviour, there is mercy to cleanse us and to wash us. Why do you content yourself with filth? Sex outside of marriage rips up the family, defiles the soul, makes us credulous and weak. Oh, friends, but in Christ there is the gift of strength, the gift of wisdom, the gift of self-denial. In Christ there is life from the dead. Why are you content with living like a zombie? Dead while you still live. Oh, friends, where's the benefit in living for pleasures, living for vice, living for the unclean? Do you not know God will judge you? Do you not know God will call you to account? Oh, friends, now is the day to seek him. Now is the day to turn back from death to life. Here were two men, Lazarus and the rich man, one with every advantage that can be imagined, and yet he wasted it. He squandered his opportunities. He squandered the opportunity to hear God's words. He squandered the opportunity to take to heart God's own warning. Oh, friends, you like that this morning? You've neglected the gospel, you've neglected the warning, you've neglected the command, and you're living like a fool, like a puppet, Satan. Living, friends, a dupe of this evil generation. Is that really a condition? Wake up to wisdom. Wake up to his call. Seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. In Christ there is grace and power to cleanse us, to change us, to deliver us, to break the chains of our lusts, to break the chains of pride and deceit. What would you call a thief when he's converted, when his soul is changed? Generous. What would you call a deceiver when he's changed, when he's washed, when he's transformed, when he receives the new birth? Honest. What would you call a proud man when he comes to the cross, when he knows the gift of Christ? Humble. Oh, friends, what wonderful changes the Lord Jesus Christ brings into a life and into our hearts. What wonderful transformation the new birth brings. But you've neglected the treasures. You've neglected God. You've insulted him by neglecting the banquet. You've pulled down tight the blinkers over your own mind, given in to prejudice and misunderstanding. And where's the benefit? Where's the outcome of sowing to the flesh? Dear friends, now is the day to seek him. Now is the day to turn to him. Don't throw away your eternal opportunities. Don't be like this rich man who ended up in hell despite having every privilege, every opportunity, all the education that the world could desire. But look at Lazarus now, the other of the two religious men, the one who was not cursed into eternity, the one who was blessed. He was poor. He was crippled. He had wounds in his back. He had bed sores. The dogs licked him. But he had something very strong that couldn't be taken away. He had the eternal life. He knew the promise of God. He took hold of God's warning. He took his invitation seriously. Oh, friends, rather be a Lazarus with all his wounds and sores than be a rich man headed for hell, headed for judgment. Rather take hold of the word of God despite all your disadvantages and know eternal life and live like a wealthy worldling and destroy your own soul and destroy your own essence and wreck your own spirit. Wake up to wisdom, friends. Wake up to his call and to his grace. Don't be foolish. Don't be like a blinkered horse. Don't be careless. Don't walk into eternity unguarded, unready, unprepared. Seek him. Turn to him while he's still near at hand. In Christ and in the cross, there is the means of return. In the Saviour, there is life from the dead. There is the kiss of eternal life. There, friends, is the inheritance of mercy. Seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. Let the wicked one forsake his way, and the unrighteous one his thoughts. Let him return unto our God, for he will have mercy, he will abundantly have pardon. In Christ there is the Alpha and the Omega. There, friends, is the great warning to us of the danger of sin, of the danger of a carnal, sensual life. Where's the benefit in throwing away your soul like a cigarette butt? Where's the benefit, friends, in throwing away your eternal life like a piece of rubbish? Where's the benefit in throwing away your soul? Wake up to wisdom. Wake up to his solemn call. Hear his commands to seek, to turn, to cleanse, to wash. In Christ, there is the fountain, the only place of slaking our thirst. Oh, friends, here was a man. His name was Lazarus. He was wounded. He was crippled. He had sores. The dogs licked him. He had something very precious. He knew the pearl of great price. He knew the price of eternal life. He knew the gateway into heaven. He knew the gift of God and the promise of God. What about us, friends? You're living in a fool's paradise, living according to your own wisdom, living according to your own philosophy, going down the broad way that leads to destruction? Turn back. Turn back. For why will you die? He has no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that they turn from their evil way and live. What is life? But to walk with God, to delight in his commands, to know his pleasure, to know his presence, to delight in his privileges. In Christ, there, friends, is the gateway into his presence. Who else can guide us back into the ways of heaven? Can Muhammad cleanse a filthy soul? Can Confucius guide us out of the labyrinth of our own deceitfulness? Can Gautama, Siddhartha, the Buddha, extricate us from the cobwebs of our own deceit? Only Christ can shatter the yoke of bondage. Only Christ can humble the proud. Only Christ can turn an inveterate lie into an honest man. Only Christ can make a thief generous. Only the Saviour can deliver us, like pull us like brands from the burning. But our friends, why are you content to carry on with sin, to carry on with sex outside of marriage, to carry on with adultery, to carry on with evil imaginations, things you know will curse you, things you know will harm you, things you know will bring you low and bring you down? Turn back before it's too late. Ask him for wisdom. Ask him for self-denial. Ask him, friends, for strength and for nobility. Ask him for a washed spirit. Ask him for the gift of the new birth before it's too late. Seek him and turn to him. In Christ, there is the way of mercy. There is the way of righteousness. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. But our friends, when you neglect justice, when you neglect what is right, what is pure, what is holy, and you feed your soul on the rubbish of this world, you'll get wounded, you'll get hurt, you'll get disgraced. Oh, friends, you're already a slave of Satan. You're already a puppet of the mood music of this present evil age. You're already burning in hell, in the hell of your own desires, in the hell of your own philosophy. Oh, friends, do you not see how little a thing it is for God to turn you into condemnation, to cut your coat off and leave you to your own devices, to withdraw the restraints and leave you to your own state? Oh, friends, now is the day to seek him. Now is the day to turn to him. Ask him for light. Ask him for wisdom. He's not niggardly or miserly. In Christ, there is the wedding banquet. There, friends, is the gift of heaven itself. In Christ, there is the gift of life from the dead. Why are you content with blindness? You have eyes, but you will not see. You have ears, but you will not hear. You have a heart, but you will not consider the purpose of your life. You're like Belshazzar, the old godless one, to whom Daniel said in the day of his death, "The God in whose hands your very ways are, you haven't glorified. The one who holds your breath, you haven't honoured. The one who gives you your next heartbeat, you've not remembered, you've not recalled his words." Oh, friends, what a tragedy to see many of you here peddling your way down to hell, peddling your way down to condemnation, under the indignation and the curse of God, children of disobedience, children of darkness. Now is the day to seek the light. Now is the day, friends, to turn back. Now is the day to ask for wisdom and for light and for grace. What have you done with your spirit? What have you done with your conscience? What have you done with youthful principle? Why have you neglected the way of right? Why have you neglected the wisdom and the call and the command of the living God? Seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. In Christ, there is the gateway of life. In Christ, there is the one who says of himself, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me." What have you done with the Father? You've cursed him. You call out, "O God," you take his name as name, you trample him underfoot, you neglect his sacred laws. And friends, where's the benefit? You're singing the choruses of the condemned. You're singing the hymns of the damned. And where's the benefit? In dancing to the devil's tune. Wake up to wisdom. Turn back before it's too late. Ask for a clean heart. Ask, friends, at the cross for mercy and for cleansing and for a new heart. There is the gift of the Holy Spirit. There is the gift of power. There is the gift of self-denial. There is the gift of cleansing and of holiness of heart. Oh, friends, here is the inheritance of the saints. Here is strength and cleansing in the cross. There, at the cross, is the greatest triumph of all, the greatest victory of all, over sin, over Satan, over death. There, friends, is the death of death in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you've neglected wisdom. You've neglected holiness. You've neglected God. You've neglected his kindness and his warnings. You've neglected wisdom. And where's the benefit, friends, of the harvest you've sown to the flesh? Where's the outcome? Where is the remorse and the sorrow you're going to weep when you neglect his kindness and his goodness? Now is the day to seek him. Now is the day to read the warnings. Here in this very simple picture, the Lord Jesus depicts before us two men, both religious, both in earnest, both sincere, one cursed into eternity, one blessed forever, Lazarus and the rich man. The rich man, full of good things, and yet at the end of life, he lost it all, because he didn't know Christ. He didn't know the love of God. He didn't know how to have his sins forgiven. He didn't know how to cleanse his heart. Are you in the same place, going down with the crowd, following the multitude down to destruction? Now is the day, friends, to turn back. Look at Lazarus. He was poor, he was crippled, he was disabled, full of sores, the dogs licked his wounds, and yet he had his hold on eternal life. He knew the promise of God. He knew the warnings of God, and he took them to heart. Why are you so careless? Why are you so neglectful? Why have you neglected the apostles and the prophets? Why have you neglected the Messiah? Here is the one who is appointed as the Saviour. Here is the one who the nations claim to adore and admire. Oh, friends, but they often pay lip service and neglect the substance of his teaching. Like Judas, they kiss him and then forsake him. They kiss him and then betray him. Oh, friends, go to Christ. Take him to heart. Take his warnings. And oh, friends, embrace that promise of eternal life. Don't be like the rich man, self-confident, self-assured, self-certain, confident in his own philosophy, and yet damned, and yet lost, and yet ensnared, and yet, friends, a puppet of his own desires in his own flesh. Go be like Lazarus. For all your wounds, for all your sores, for all your sorrows, take hold of eternal life. Take hold of the promise of God. The rich man in hell cries out for mercy. He says, send Lazarus to dip his finger in water and touch the tip of my tongue, for here I am in torment, he says. But oh, friends, you know what Abraham says? Something very tragic. After death, it's too late. After death, it's too late. It's no good waiting to find out. After death, it's too late. The door is shut. The opportunity is gone. This life is all we have. This life is the time to seek. After death, it's too late. There is a great gulf that separates hell from heaven. There is no purgatory. There is no change of place. There is no transformation. If you live under the curse of God, friends, you'll live under the curse of God to eternity. If you live in disobedience now, you'll endure the eternal consequences later. Now is the day to seek him. Now is the day to turn to him. Now is the day to know the blessing and the benefit of repentance. Now, friends, is the day to turn back to his wisdom and his grace. Seek him and turn to him while he may still be found. In Christ, there is the banquet of forgiveness, of mercy, of power, of cleansing. But, oh, friends, why are you feeding on junk food? Why are you feeding your soul on ashes? Why are you feeding on trash? Why, friends, would you benefit your soul from an empty religion, from something vain and useless that cannot forgive your sin, cannot prepare you for eternity, cannot bring you into his presence with pleasure? Now is the day to seek him. Now is the day to turn back. In Christ, there is solid grace to change us, to wash us, to transform our dead spirits and breathe into us that spirit of holiness, the gift of Christ. Oh, friends, in the cross, there is the gateway of mercy. There is the gateway of transformation. There is the gift of the new birth. In the cross, there is an open fountain in Lewisham and every other part of the world to wash our dead souls, to bring our dead spirits to life, to slake the deep spiritual thirst of our hearts. What have you done with him? What have you done with his invitation? What have you done with the treasury of his word? What have you done, friends, with the great promises, exceeding great and precious in their substance? In Christ, there is the lighthouse of our souls. Seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. Don't throw away your spirit. Don't harden your heart against the living God. Seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. Where's the benefit in sowing to the flesh, sowing to the senses, living out a life that's carnal and fleshly, at enmity with God? Where's the benefit in that, friends? What outcome will you face if you sow to the flesh and reap corruption in Christ. There is the grace of God. The Lord Jesus Christ speaks very plainly about hell in this passage. He speaks about eternal conscious torment. He speaks about eternal punishment. He speaks about the consequence of sin. Oh, friends, Christ is very plain about hell. He's very plain about the means of escaping it. He's very plain about the need to have our sin washed away. He's very plain that each one of us will face the judgment, the right and the proper judgment of our sin, unless we turn to him. Seek him, friends. Turn to him while he's still near at hand. You know, there's a particularly tragic thing the rich man said in hell. He cried out and he said, "Send Lazarus back to warn my brothers." How many there are who've heard the gospel now crying out the same thing? Send back somebody to warn them not to come into this place of torment. Send somebody back to warn them not to come to this place of torment. But you know what Abraham says? They've heard the scriptures. They've heard the warnings. They've heard Moses and the prophets. If they will not hear them, neither will they believe if a man rise from the dead. And he did. And they didn't. Oh, friends, do you not know? God has made himself unmistakably plain. He's left himself with a witness. He's left himself with a testimony. If we will harden our hearts, if we will not turn, if we will not hearken, what remains but indignation and wrath and punishment, the due and just punishment for our sin? We need Christ. We need redemption. We need forgiveness. We need cleansing. Where will you find it outside of the cross? Where will you find it outside of the Saviour? Here is the one whose body was broken, whose blood was spilt, whose very soul expired to purchase for us a place in heaven, to purchase for us eternal life, and yet you've neglected him. Oh, friends, it was a terrible thing to die under the hand of Moses at the hand of two or three witnesses. How much sorer the punishment will be of those who neglect mercy, of those who neglect repentance, of those who neglect the gift of God. Oh, friends, it was a terrible thing to neglect the law, to neglect the commandments. How much more terrible a thing to neglect the mercy and the kindness of the living God. Seek him, turn to him, while he's still near at hand, ask him for grace and for wisdom. I'd like to read to you two words of Nahum, one of the minor prophets, and yet very precious and very sacred. Nahum says this: God is jealous. God is jealous. Now, friends, we often equate jealous gods with a primitive, primeval sort of religion, but that's not how God sees it. God is jealous like a bridegroom over his bride. He's interested in us. He's concerned for us. He loves us. God is jealous. Oh, friends, he doesn't need our worship. He doesn't need our sacrifices. He doesn't need our state. He certainly doesn't need our money. But he is jealous of our state. He's concerned about our welfare. God is zealous to see us benefited and blessed. He showers our shelves with good things. He fills our homes with benefits and blessings. And how do we respond? Why is he jealous? Oh, friends, he sees the waste we've made of our souls. He sees the desolation we've made of our own spirits. He sees the wreckage we've made of our own lives. In Christ is the only means of return. In the Lord Jesus Christ, there is the great fountain of life. Seek him. Turn to him while he's still near at hand. God is jealous and the Lord revenges. Oh yes, the Lord revenges. He marks, he notes, he calls, he invites. God avenges. He will avenge his own cause. You know, we have an old saying in English: the wheels of justice grind slowly, but they grind exceedingly fine. How will you escape the judgment of God? How will you escape that just recompense for sin? Seek him, turn to him, ask him for wisdom, ask him for light, ask him for mercy, ask him, friends, for the gift of his grace, the gift of his kindness. In the Lord Jesus Christ, there is light for our dark and wicked generation. In Christ, there is liberty for our bound spirits. In Christ, there is hope, even in the most despairing of situations. In Christ, there is healing for the wounds of the spirit and of the heart. It's no one else, friends. Here is the great physician of souls. Here is the great master physician. There's no one like him. No one who knows our state. No one who knows our condition. No psychiatrist or counselor or psychologist who can remotely touch the power and the nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. He knows the deceitfulness of our hearts. He knows the crookedness of our being. He knows the poison of our spirits, and only the Lord Jesus Christ can cleanse us and wash us. Only Christ can deliver us from the grip of sin. Only Christ can break the yoke that Satan has bound around our necks. Only Christ can cleanse us and bring us back into full liberty, the liberty of obedience, the liberty of humility, the liberty of generosity, the liberty of chastity and purity. Oh, friends, what have you given your heart to? What have you wasted your spirit on? What have you wrecked your soul? What rocks have you wrecked the ship of your soul on? Wake up to wisdom. Wake up to his solemn call. Seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. Go to the Saviour. Go to the cross. Go to that wonderful fulfiller of ancient prophecy. Go, friends, to the ancient Messiah. In him is life from the dead. In him is grace for our weakness. In him is cleansing for our filth. In Christ, there, friends, is the kiss of life for the death that reigns and rules within us now. Seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. God is jealous. Oh, friends, you know that? He is concerned. He's not an absent landlord far away from us. God is jealous, like a bridegroom over his bride. He watches our lives, our thoughts, our motives. God is jealous. He is concerned. His love is not something passive, something indifferent to our sin. God's love is a jealous love, a possessive love, a concerned love. After all, he breathed us into being. In his hands are our very beings. In his hand is our next heartbeat, our very breath. And all, friends, his commands are given for our blessing, for our benefit, for our happiness, for our protection. But we've violated every one. We've insulted him. We've offended him. Our very lives are an offence against God. God is jealous. And God avenges. God revenges. All, friends, he will take vengeance on his adversaries. You may think it's a light thing to disobey God. You may think it's a light thing to sin. You may think it's an easy thing to get away with transgression. But God will avenge his enemies. He marks. He notes. He will take into account every extenuating circumstance. He will avenge, friends, his enemies. He will vindicate his law. If we violate his commandments, we can expect the consequences. We can expect a just reward. But, oh, friends, now is the day to seek mercy. Now is the day to seek his relief. Now is the day to seek cleansing of heart. Now is the day to turn to him. Turn back from wickedness. Turn back from folly. Turn back from prejudice and misunderstanding. Seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. Read those Gospels, friends. Read them carefully. Study them. And let them study your own heart and your own state. And you'll see just how vast the gulf between you and God is. How deep the wounds of your whole heart are. How serious the malady of your condition really is. In Christ and in the cross, there is the only prescription that really matters. In Christ, there's the only real remedy for our soul state. There, friends, is the touch of power for the leprosy of our hearts. In Christ, there is life from the dead. In Christ, there is mercy and power to cleanse us and to wash us. Go to him while he's still near at hand. Ask him, friends, for mercy and for life while he may still be found. In the Saviour, there is the warning of judgment and of hell, the necessity of forgiveness, and the power to cleanse our filthy souls. In Christ, there is life from the dead. Seek him and turn to him. If we say that we have no sin, we're deceiving ourselves. We make God a liar. Is that what you've done, friends? To justify yourself, you brought God down to your own standards. You've made him like yourself. You said he is altogether such an one as I am. But our friends, he'll set things in order. He'll reprove us. He'll vindicate his word. He demonstrates the reality and the virtue of his law. In Christ, and in Christ alone, is the only grounds of preparation for eternity. The pharaohs were wise enough to clothe themselves with gold, but not wise enough to prepare themselves with righteousness. Where is the state of your soul? Where is the state of your spirit? How will you give an account for the things you've done and said if you don't know his mercy, if you don't know his grace? Turn back. Turn back from sin. Ask him for wisdom. Ask him for light. Ask him for a clean heart. Ask him for a washed spirit. Nahum says this: God is jealous. The Lord revenges. The Lord revenges and is furious. Do you see that, friends? Do you know that? God sees our lives and he's angry. He's indignant. He sees all that we've done, all that we've said, and he says, what a waste. What a tragic shipwreck. What a mess. What an unclean mess. Oh, friends, we need his salvation. We need his power. We need his cleansing. We need his gift. We need his kindness. We earn the wages of sin, which is death, but we neglect the gift of God, which is eternal life. How foolish. How neglectful to go the broad way with the crowds down to judgment, down to perdition, down to degeneration and decadence and weakness, and neglect the narrow way that leads to life. Where's the benefit in that? Turn back, friends. Turn back from folly. Ask him for light. Ask him for wisdom. Ask him for a clean spirit while he may still be found. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power. Our very being lies in his palm. In God we live and move and have our being. Oh, friends, at his very presence, the mountains quake, the hills melt. His way is in the storm, his paths in the way of the wilderness. He is a great God. He sees us, he weighs us, he convinces us and convicts us if only we turn to him. But, oh, friends, why are you running away from God's goodness? Why are you running away from his call to repentance? Why are you running away from his righteousness? Why have you neglected his law? Why have you neglected his great goodness and patience? Why have you neglected the way of pardon, the way of mercy? Where's the benefit, friends, in heaping up to yourselves anger against the day to come, living carelessly, living a puppet of the flesh, living under Satan's dominion, singing the hymns of the condemned, dancing the dances of the damned? Where's the benefit, friends, in chanting the choruses of those down, bound to death, seeking? Turn back from sin before it's too late. Ask him for light. Ask him for wisdom. Ask him for a deep conviction of sin. Ask him, friends, for a sense of your need of wisdom. Ask him, friends, for a perceptive spirit. Ask him, friends, for discernment between clean and unclean. This is a filthy generation, unlike almost any other before it. So educated and yet so ignorant of basic spiritual realities. So blessed and yet so ungrateful. So well trained and yet so unruly. Oh, friends, this is an unprecedented generation of wickedness. Unprecedented in its ingratitude towards God. We need mercy. We need wisdom. We need his kindness. Seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. In Christ is the call of grace, the call of mercy. Look at Lazarus. There was a man in great distress. He had nothing, friends, to God. The dogs licked his wounds, and yet he took hold of the promise of God. He took hold of the warnings of God. He had a relationship with the Father through the Son. What about us? We like the rich man, full of self-confidence, full of our own philosophies, full of our own understanding, sincere perhaps, and yet when it comes to spiritual things, ignorant, pig ignorant. Come to Christ. Take off the blinkers. Take his word to heart. And all friends, lay hold on eternal life. In the Saviour, there is the gift of mercy, the gift of power, the gift of self-denial, the gift of holiness and purity. In Christ, there is solid joy and real peace. In Christ, there is the fountain of life. Once, friends, you slake your thirst in him, you'll never want of it again. Turn to him while he's still near at hand. Don't forsake your own mercy. Don't forsake his kindness. Again, friends, the words of Nahum the prophet, he says this: who can stand before his indignation? And who can abide the fierceness of his anger? His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down before him. But the Lord is good. He is a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows them that trust in him. Oh, friends, you like the children of Israel or the children of Egypt? Are you an oppressor or are you one who is oppressed? Come to him, friends. Come to that Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom is a banquet of rich and wonderful things. You know, there are many of us who waste our lives on pleasure, on sex outside of marriage, on adultery, on abortion, on things that cruelly wound the spirit, rip up the family, destroy our futures, rip up our children's futures, wound our grandchildren, make us coarse and brutish. But in Christ, there is the way of return. There is the way back to God from the dark paths of sin. In the Saviour, there is the one whose very name means the deliverer, the one who's able to extricate us from the mess we've made of our lives, the one who's well able to bless us. Don't touch it with a barge pole. It's cursed. Don't touch it with a barge pole. No, quite. In Christ, there is grace and power to cleanse us and to wash us. Seek him. Turn to him while he's still near at hand. Oh, friends, the prophet says this. Who can abide his indignation? Who can stand in the fierceness of his wrath? Oh, friends, do you know how angry God is with you? Do you realize how angry God is with you? Do you realize a little of his indignation? He is slow to anger, but that anger burns even now over us. We are children of anger by nature. Friends, we live under the cloud of his indignation. Every one of his laws we've broken. Every one of his commandments we've shattered. Every precept, every statute we've shattered. We stand condemned, children of hell, children of Satan. Oh, friends, we need mercy. We need wisdom. We need forgiveness. We need a new heart. We need the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's no good to wallow like a sow in the mire. We need his cleansing and his power. Seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. In the Lord Jesus Christ, there and there alone, is grace to cleanse us and to wash us. Seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. Turn back from sin before it's too late. My friend, you're going to damn yourself by doing this. You know that. You need to stop it. You need to seek Christ and ask for his mercy. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'd like to read just a few verses of the scriptures, words of warning and words of invitation from the Apostle Peter. He said this: We have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the coming and the majesty of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty, eyewitnesses of the King. In Christ, there is the great King of kings, the Lord of lords, the one to whom every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. But our friends, the great tragedy of our lives is we waste them, we wreck them, we ruin them, chasing after things that are carnal and weak. In the Lord Jesus Christ, there is the Messiah, the Alpha and the Omega, the great Lion of the tribe of Judah. And what have you done with his promise? What have you done with his gracious warnings? What have you done with his death, with his spilt blood and his broken body? In Christ, there is the only means of return. Dear friends, don't throw away your eternal spirit. Don't live for vanity. Don't, friends, sow to the flesh and reap corruption. Don't earn the wages of sin that lead to death. Seek him. Turn to him while he's still near at hand, while there's still opportunity. Take hold of eternal life. Buy the truth and sell it not. Or, friends, with all you're getting, get wisdom and don't depart from it. Don't live for folly. Don't live in carnal darkness. Don't draw down the blinkers and live like a fool. Seek him. Turn to him while he's still near at hand. In the Lord Jesus Christ, there is grace and power to cleanse us, to wash us, to change us. In Christ, there is the great gift of the Holy Spirit. What have you done with him by nature? What have you done with his kindness? What have you done, friends, with the great manifesto laid out for us in the scriptures, the promises of the apostles and the prophets, there is the gift of eternal life. And oh friends, your hearts are so cold. You're like icebergs towards God. Here you are, earning out the indignation of God, living under his condemnation, living a child of the curse and under darkness, neglecting the wisdom of God, neglecting his kindness. And where's the benefit? Where's the outcome of a life lived like that? Surely it will end in hell. Surely it will end in darkness. Surely it will end in remorse. But in Christ, there is the way of return. Dear friends, take hold of eternal life. Take hold of the warnings. Take hold of the gracious promises. Here's what Peter said. We were eyewitnesses of his majesty. We saw the life and the nature of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we couldn't but speak about him. Here's a theme of great wonder. Here, friends, is real treasure. Here, friends, is the pearl of great price. Here is the treasure hidden in the field. Why have you neglected wisdom? Why have you neglected godliness? Why have you neglected forgiveness? Why have you neglected his goodness and his kindness? Seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. I'm not going to stop. God bless you. Pray for us. In Christ and in Christ alone, there is grace to wash us, to change us. How else will you deal with the filth of your own heart? How else will you deal with the filth of your own imagination? Come, wash you, make you clean. Put away the filth of your doing before my sight, he says. Though your sins be like scarlet, yet they shall be as white as snow. Oh, friends, Christ isn't interested in the colour of our skin. He's interested in the colour of our motives. He's interested in the state of our hearts. He is no respecter of persons, black or white, yellow or orange. He's interested in the state of our hearts. In Christ, there is the gift of mercy. There is the gift of power. Seek him and turn to him while he may still be found. Again, the words of Peter. We have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We were eyewitnesses of his majesty, eyewitnesses of his glory. We saw him with our own eyes. We handled him with our own hands. We knew something of his power. We knew something of his exceptionalism. In Christ, there is the great Lamb of God. No one is like him, friends. Muhammad can eat his heart out. Confucius can guide you into confusion. Gautama Siddhartha will leave you stone cold, like the statues of him that we worship. But in Christ, there is the living God, reflected in his dear Son. In Christ, there is the breath of our nostrils. There is the kiss of life. There is strength for our weakness. There is the binding up of the brokenhearted. There, friends, is life from the dead. What have you done, friends, to choose death? What have you done to choose selfishness? Why have you chosen lust and folly? Why have you wounded your own spirit? Why have you chosen degradation? Shake off the dust of ungodliness. Seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous one his thoughts. Let him return unto our God. For he will pardon, he will abundantly have mercy. There's no sin so great, so deep, he can't change us and cleanse us and wash us. In the Lord Jesus Christ, there and there alone is the fountain of life. There and there alone are the waters, friends, which when you taste them, you'll never thirst again. Seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. Oh, friends, what have you done with the great Lion of the tribe of Judah? What have you done with the Lamb of God? Here is the great treasure of our generation and of every generation, the pearl beyond price, for whom the exchange of life itself is but a trifle. In Christ, there is a loving kindness far deeper than life itself. What have you done with his warnings? What have you done with his kindness? What have you done with the manifest warnings he set out before us? Friends, do you think it's wise to take the batteries out of your smoke alarm at home and then start a fire? Do you think it's wise, friends, to disable your fire system at work? Do you think it's wise to disable your fire extinguishers? Then why have you neglected your conscience? Why have you neglected God's warnings? Why have you neglected the commandments of God? Why have you neglected his kindness? He's left us with a witness. He's left us with a warning. We need to take heed to it. We need to take it to heart. Take hold of eternal life. Take hold of his promise. Take hold of his kindness before it's too late. Don't throw away your eternal soul. Seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. Oh, friends, in Christ is the friend who sticks closer than a brother, one well able to cleanse us, well able to wash us, well able to transform our dead spirits. Why do you feed on rubbish? Why do you feed on detritus? Why, friends, are you feeding on junk food, empty things that won't nourish your spirit? Seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. In the Saviour, there is grace to transform our dead souls and make us live and make us sing. In Christ is the breaking of the chains of our transgression. In Christ, there is humility for our pride. There is chastity for our lust. There is strength in our weakness. What have you done, friends, to throw away your soul? Why have you neglected eternal life? Why have you neglected his gracious warning? Turn back from sin before it's too late. In Christ, there is grace and power to change us and to bless us. Seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. Again, I'd like to read to you one simple parable of the Saviour, where he describes two men praying, one with himself, the other with God. The man who prayed with himself is famous. He said, I thank thee, Father, that I'm not like other men. I'm not like this publican. I give tithes, I do such and such good things. Here was the man who prayed with himself. He came in his own self-confidence. He came, perhaps sincerely, but completely deluded about his own state. You like that, friends? You don't know the half of your own heart. You don't know the poison of your own spirit. You don't know the darkness of your own state. You don't know the power Satan has over you. You don't know the grip that you lie in. You don't know the power of darkness. You have no sense of the powers around you. You're like the man who prayed with himself and said, I thank thee, O God, that I'm not like other men. There's another man whose prayer was heard. And here is the man, he said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. His eyes were open. He saw his state. He saw his need. He saw his wounds. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Here's the man who is justified. Here's the man who went to Christ. Here's the man who knew his need of the cross. Here's the man whose life was transformed from the root to the top. Oh, friends, what kind of prayers do you utter if you pray at all? You a man who prays with himself? A woman who prays with herself at her own bedside? You don't know the means to return. You don't know the plan of God. You don't know his tastes or his laws. Oh, friends, wake up to wisdom. Wake up to his call. Seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. In the Christ, there is mercy and grace to cleanse us, to wash us. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Go to the cross. Whatever you've done, whatever you've been, there is the one who can remedy your state. However hopeless it seems, go to the light of this dark world. Go to the Lamb of God, who alone takes away the sin of the world. In him is light and grace and power to cleanse us. Dear friends, don't throw away your eternal spirit. Seek him and turn to him while he's still near at hand. For his sake. Amen.